Wesson, Public Affairs, South Coast AG&D.
Susan Nakamura, Planning and Rules.
Amir Deshbach, Engineering and Permitting.
Cher Snyder, Compliance and Enforcement.
Andrea Polidori, Atmospheric Measurements Manager.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll start with the updates. First, we'll go to Dr. Polidori to give you an update on monitoring.
Good afternoon, everyone. So on January the 31st, Site 15 near Anaplex had the highest reported concentration of chrome 6 of over 15 nanograms per cubic meter. The second highest value near Anaplex was 2.74 nanogram per cubic meter at Site 14. And the third value was recorded at Site 13 with a concentration of 0.81 nanograms per cubic meter. All of the other sites in the city of Paramount recorded level of hexavalent chromium ranging from 0.1 to 1.92 nanograms per cubic meter. All of the chrome 6 concentrations recorded at the school sites on January the 31st ranged between 0.1 and 0.28 nanograms per cubic meter. And currently we have a number of sites, of school sites, where we have collected more than 7 valid samples, and we are evaluating the data collected at the school sites, and we are considering redeploying some of those samplers at other school locations, including Los Cerritos, Roosevelt, Tanner, Paramount Park, Paramount High School West, and we are still considering those locations for redeployment. We have collected and analyzed samples that were collected in the city of Paramount on January the 3rd, and that information is available on our website. And currently the samples collected on February the 6th are being analyzed by our laboratory. The next sampling date for the Paramount sites will be on February the 9th. And that concludes my update.
Thank you very much, Dr. Polidori. Next, we'll have an update from enforcement with Dr. Cher Snyder.
Good evening. We've now issued a total of 5 notices of violation to Carlton Forge Works for creating a public nuisance in violation of AQMD Rule Number 402 and California Health and Safety Code Section 41700. The dates of violation are as follows. The first notice memorialized a violation on December the 8th of 2016. Subsequent violations were on January 13th, 2017, January 24th, 2017, January 26th, 2017, and the most recent February 2nd, 2017. Compliance staff are going to be visiting Carlton Forge Works to try to ascertain the root cause of the odors that have been created and that themselves have created a public nuisance in the community. And we hope to be able to have some information that we can share with you about that in the next several days. Since the beginning of this year, this calendar year 2017, we've received a total of 77 complaints alleging Carlton Forge or an unknown source in the general vicinity of Carlton Forge as the source of odors. We also have been in contact with the city of Paramount that has released to us as of today a list of 88 metal handling facilities that are licensed for business in the city of Paramount. We are checking that list against our list of facilities as well and hope to be able to post that information on our website in the next few days once we've cross-verified that information. And this list, once again, would contain only those facilities that have something to do with metal handling. We plan to identify the nature of the metal handling or processing operation for each facility so that people will have a better sense of the operations that are ongoing of that nature in the city of Paramount. We also hope to characterize these businesses by size so people will have a general understanding of whether these operations are relatively small or much more extensive, such as would be the case for the larger metal forging operations that you've heard about before, including Carlton Forge Works, Anaplex, Aerocraft, Heat Treating, Matco Forge, Press Forge, and Weber Metals. I believe that concludes the enforcement update. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll get an update from Amir from the permitting section.
Good evening. Anaplex, as part of their abatement order requirements, submitted a housekeeping plan to the district for review and approval. Engineering staff have reviewed the plan and provided comments to Anaplex on how to improve the measures that they have listed on their proposed plan. This concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Amir. Next, we'll get an update regarding media. There was a press release that was issued on Friday evening to update the community on the Anaplex curtailment. That was done in both English and Spanish, and it is up on our website. There's no...
Hey, Derek, I'm fine.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, Sam, go ahead.
Seals the media update and just wanted to let you know I'm on the line for any questions.
Okay, great. And as for community outreach, no update on this other than we are continuing to have this call in the evenings and update and uploading the audio version of this call onto our website. We'll go into accepting questions. If you have a question, please submit it to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Again, that's publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We have received one question from Unti Holly. We discussed last town hall possibly of changing the call-in day so it does not interfere with the city council meeting. Is there an update on this change? As of right now, no update. We're still discussing internally. We've already changed the time of the meeting based on input from the community that they wanted it in the evenings on Tuesdays rather than at 11:30 or 12:30 during the day. We're still going to discuss that internally if we're going to change the date. Right now, staff has already committed to Tuesdays. If there's any other questions, please feel free to email us at publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. There's a possibility what we're doing is in the future is doing a public call every 2 weeks, and that will not coincide with the city council meeting. So we'll have it every Tuesday when the city council does not meet. That's an idea we're floating right now, and we'll get back to all of you in the near future as to what our plans are regarding changing the call to every 2 weeks. If you have any input on that, we'd appreciate if you could send it over to us. We got an email from Lisa Lappin. If the city is going to give you information on 88 metal companies that are permitted by the city, what is the status of the other 21 companies that work in metal? Last week we were told there were 109 companies working in metal. Does this mean that these 21 companies are unpermitted? I'll have Dr. Sherry Snyder address that.
Good evening, Lisa. Last week we were looking at a list that appeared to us to have 109 facilities that had something to do with metalworking operations. And that list included not only the city's list, but also our list and some other sources as well. We've been working with the city to try to vet those lists so that we have agreement on which facilities are actually operating and which ones, in fact, are involved in metalworking. So the city's list appears to be 88 at this point. We're going through and truing that up with our list, and we'll be happy to post the final list that includes not only their facilities that are operating under city business licenses, but also any facilities that are subject to permitting requirements with AQMD, so that you can actually look at that list. We anticipate having that available within the next few days, and we'll post that online.
Thank you very much, Dr. Snyder. We have a question from Magdalena Guillen. Is there an abatement order for Anaplex?
Yes. We have a stipulated order of abatement for both Anaplex and for Aircraft. With regards to Anaplex, Anaplex recently exceeded the monitoring, and they have been forced to curtail.
Again, if you have any questions, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov.
In response to the last question about the Anaplex order for abatement, if you look on our website, www.aqmd.gov, and search under Paramount, you'll get to our webpage, and that will direct you to some of the documents that describe the order for abatement.
Another question from Lisa Lappin. How many times can a company violate their stipulated order without increased consequences? Isn't it probable that Anaplex had a profitable order that they chose to complete and release 15.1 nanograms per cubic meter, knowing that they would be temporarily shut down? How many times can they temporarily shut down and start up, etc.?
Lisa, this is Cher again. We don't have a set number of times that a company can operate contrary to an order for abatement, but in fact, if that should happen, we have the opportunity to take the company back before our hearing board and to seek additional guidance and direction from them with respect to other methods of curtailing their operation or otherwise helping them to reduce their emissions impact on the local community.
And I believe, Lisa, that Anaplex was attributing this high hit to some work that was being done by the telephone company in on their building, and they're saying that that is what happened with the release, the increased release that they had. Again, if you want to submit questions, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov.
Thank you.
Again, we're waiting for questions at publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, we got another question from Magdalena. The question is, so it is ambient air monitoring. So can you explain how this is a wrong reading on the telephone company worked on the roof?
So it's our understanding that what happened was that the telephone company was doing some work, and this is the information that we got from Anaplex, in a space between the roof and the kind of like an attic space, and it disturbed the dust in there and became a fugitive outside the building, and the monitor picked it up. So that's our understanding based on Anaplex. They said they believe that that was the source of the high level of hexavalent chrome on that day.
And Anaplex has also submitted a, what we call a house cleaning plan. That house cleaning plan would allow them to make sure that the facility is clean, that they've addressed the fugitive hex chrome emissions that may have settled on some of the surfaces. We're in the process of reviewing that plan. That plan will also need to be reviewed by the Coopas and possibly DTSC. Once that's approved, then they can move forward and implement that plan.
Okay, Unti just submitted another question. Here in City Council, we are being told that Anaplex had a telephone person in the attic and that it impacted air readings. Can you speak more on this and explain what will be done? I think we just went over that, Unti, so that your question was already answered. Again, we're waiting for questions at publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, looks like we got a question from Lisa Lappin. Have you heard other cases where telephone companies were responsible for such hex chrome release? Do you believe that this is the case? Why don't they clean up the dust so it cannot become airborne? Why didn't Anaplex do all this in October when they knew you were looking for the company responsible? They've had 4 months to do this. How can they be allowed to jeopardize the health of the telephone workers with their dust? So let's do this one question at a time. Have you heard of other cases where telephone companies were responsible for such a hex chrome release?
It's really not, this is Amir Deshbach from engineering. The release of the hex chrome that had occurred as a result of the work on the telephone wiring is not something that we see normally with any type of other operations. However, in a similar facilities such as Anaplex, we had seen that if there was any work done on the roof or on the ground or trenching for wires, there would be some release of hex chrome into the air. And this is fugitive emissions that is being picked up by our monitors.
Okay, next question is, do you believe that this is the case?
Well, we don't know one way or the other, but we're relying on Anaplex in describing what was the cause or what they presumed to be the cause of the high reading.
Her next question is, why don't they clean up the dust so it cannot become airborne?
Anaplex has submitted a housekeeping plan to us to review and approve. As part of the housekeeping plan, they have provided measures on what they will do to reduce the hex chrome emissions. We are in the process of reviewing the plan and making sure that what they will be doing in the future for cleaning or for maintenance will not cause release of hex chrome into the atmosphere.
And then Lisa, your next question, I'm not sure if it's so much a question, but you made it a question. They've had 4 months to do this, question mark, so that I think that's more of a statement. The next part of your question is, how can they be allowed to jeopardize the health of telephone workers with their dust?
Well, that's a good question. I'm sure Anaplex wasn't aware of the dust that was surrounding the cables or the wires for the telephone company. Again, this is something that we're looking into as part of our housekeeping measures to make sure that this will not occur in the future.
Robina, you have a question. Thank you for the update and all that you are doing. Of the 88 facilities identified by AQMD and City of Panama, how many facilities since our last call have recently been issued permits?
This is Sharon Rubina. I think I may need to get back to you on that. I think when we spoke last week, we had identified 14 facilities that had been issued notices to comply, requiring them to get permits. And of those, about half of those facilities, if memory serves, had elected to remove the equipment that required permits from service. And we will be going back to check periodically to make sure that that equipment is no longer on site and that they are not using anything that would require a permit. The other facilities were required again to get permits with us, and all had submitted applications at that time. So there's probably about 6 or 7 of those facilities on our list that had submitted permit applications, but those were not necessarily all metal handling facilities. Those are just simply facilities that we had cited as part of our global sweep. Some of them potentially would have been metal handling facilities, but not all. I'm happy to provide you with more specificity offline and an email if you would like.
Again, if you have questions, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Here's a question from Melissa Parra. Can VOC's, I'm not sure which
slash
BTEX emissions from Paramount Petroleum be transported by train? And what are the standards for train emissions?
I'm sure it means VOCs or BTECs.
Or BTECs emissions?
This was probably just an autocorrect.
Okay.
Train
emissions, yeah. What are standards for train emissions?
So the question in terms of VOC and BTECs are benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, and xylene. which are kind of the key toxic air contaminants that are associated with essentially gasoline. And trains generally operate on diesel fuel, and the standards for trains, locomotives, there are specific requirements that the federal government established in terms of what standards they have to meet. But generally, you probably wouldn't expect to see high VOC or BTECs associated with diesel fuel.
All right, thank you. We got another question from Lisa Lappin. I am confused about the 109 companies that you spoke of last week that use metal in some way. 80 provided by the city, over a dozen provided by residents, and the rest discovered by EQMD. Wouldn't they all be required to have a city business license to operate? Why didn't the city of Paramount submit all 109 to your organization upon initial request? Why did it require so much extra work on your part and that of the community? Do you have any ideas? So let's break it up again, Lisa, one by one. Wouldn't they all be required to have a business license to operate?
Lisa, this is Cher. I don't know what the City of Paramount's requirements are for obtaining a business license. So I think that question would perhaps be better placed to the city.
All right, your next question is, why did the City of Paramount submit all 109 to your organization upon initial request?
So the City of Paramount did submit to us, on their own volition, a listing of businesses on which they had identified that had business licenses that we weren't aware of. So the city was very proactive in providing that list to us. I don't know why this number 109 comes up, because their listing, as I recall, was 88 or 89.
This is Susan Nakamura. I believe the reason why the number of facilities increased was that we did receive additional lists of facilities from the public. I think Michelle Lewis and some other folks had submitted some additional facilities that we included in that total number and did the investigation.
And then your last part of your question is, why did it require so much extra work on your part and that of the community? Do you have any ideas?
Well, Lisa, we wanted to be thorough in our vetting of these businesses to ensure that that the nature of their operations was as we had been, as we understood it to be. We also, as you know, went door to door and looked at facilities that might or might not have been on the city's list or some of the other lists, because we wanted to be able to rule out possible facilities, particularly in the vicinity of Anaplex and Aerocraft, that might conceivably be contributing to levels of emissions. During our work in the field, we found that in fact there were some businesses that had gone out of business that had been on lists provided to us by various entities, and some new businesses had come into business. And so we've been in the process, the City of Paramount, along with us, we've been in the process of trying to update our records so that we have an accurate count of the kinds of businesses that are operating in some way involving metals in the city. And as indicated previously, once we have trued our data up, we are more than happy to share that with you on our website. We'll provide a list of those businesses identified by name and address and by the type of metal working or metal handling that they do, so that you'll be able to have a comprehensive picture of the facilities that have been identified and licensed by the City of Paramount, as well as those that are required to have permits by AQMD.
Thank you. We got another question from Magdalena Guillen. You had previously mentioned that the City of Paramount has every right to create ordinances and implement more stringent criteria. They then told us that you told them it wasn't smart at this time, that they need proof and evidence that for revocation, otherwise it will not hold up in court. They said that no other cities have done this. So which is it? They have jurisdiction or they do not?
This is Kurt Weiss, the general counsel.
I think I've mentioned previously the health and safety code says that cities can enact more stringent requirements. As you can probably tell, regulating sources like the chrome emitting facilities in Paramount is an extraordinarily complicated task. Takes a lot of expertise. Our agency has been formed to put together that expertise and act on it. So from the standpoint of a local municipality adopting a regulation that addresses facilities like chrome emitting facilities, it would be an extremely difficult task for them to undertake. In the final analysis, they would have jurisdiction to do it. It's just a question of whether it would be wise to do so or not. And finally, there, as far as I'm aware, there are no cities in the jurisdiction of the AQMP that have adopted more stringent requirements.
Okay, we're waiting for questions. Again, if you have any questions, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Again, it's publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, here's a question from Lisa Lappin. We appreciate that you were thorough, but it makes no sense that the city would be unaware of companies in their midst that are in full operation, so it makes no sense to me that they did not provide you with the data. It also does not make sense to me that it does not seem to disturb some of your top executives who continue to say they were proactive. I do not see how there is anything proactive about providing less than total amount of businesses when requested by a regulatory agency in the middle of the investigation. Even Assemblyman Rendon said publicly that the city of Paramount failed to do their job in permitting and licensing. Does it not concern you at all? Is this acceptable behavior for a responsible city?
Lisa, all I can, this is Cher again. All I can say is that the city provided us voluntarily with a list of facilities that had business licenses at the time that they gave us the list. And our process was to accompany them and to learn together about what other things might be going on, if any. The number of facilities that they identified to us initially was in the ballpark of about 88. They have confirmed that there are 88 facilities in the city with business licenses that have something to do with metal operations. I think there are a couple that went out of business and a couple new ones that they found, but it's basically pretty close to the list that they originally gave us. So I don't see that there's much in the way of discrepancy there.
Okay, another question from Magdalena Guillen. If the city buys the monitors, who will pay for the readings?
That's all part of the work and discussions that are ongoing at this point. And that'll be determined in the near future.
Thank you.
Again, we're waiting for questions. Email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, seeing that there's no other questions, we're going to end the call. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.